by asking ourselves how the church is holy. The church is holy because Christ gave her all the means necessary to sanctify her members. Hear it. Christ did not found the church. Hear it. Christ did not found the church merely that those who belong to the Catholic Church might reach heaven and avoid hell. No! Christ founded the church to make those who belong to her holy. And the reason is not casual, no afterthought this. In the early centuries of Christian history, the followers of Christ, those who belonged to the Catholic Church, were called by the fathers of the Church the Anima Mundi, the soul of the world. If ever the world needed a soul, it's today. And that was a principal message of Pope John Paul II in Denver last year, pleading that America would not lose her soul. And what's the soul of our nation? The soul of our nation is Christianity. And she is losing her soul. No figure of speech that. In other words, our nation is dying. One advantage in reading the publications in other countries, in other languages, you get an insight into what the rest of the world thinks of us, which you'd never find in American magazines or newspapers. I mean it. If there is one adjective that describes the estimate of the United States in one Western country after another, America, I repeat, is degenerate. Living as we do, when this very carefully regulated cultural climate, no figure of speech this, we are, I'm not exaggerating, we are the most brainwashed people on earth. Brainwashed. For years now, been cooperating with the Holy See to get some increase in the circulation of the Holy Father's newspaper, Osservatore Romano. Some 50 million Catholics on the books in America. The circulation of the Osservatore Romano comes out every week. Is still under 3,000 in the United States. What the Pope says, what he teaches, some Catholics couldn't care less. We go on. How is the church holy? The church is holy because she possesses the life of grace, which is holiness. The Catholic Church, that means you and I are to sanctify the rest of the world. When Pope John the 23rd published his encyclical on the Church, like the Latin title, Mater et Magistra, Mother and Teacher, he couldn't have been plainer. The Catholic Church is a spiritual mother of the whole world. And she is the teacher of the whole world. There's only one way we can tell what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. What does the Catholic Church teach? And then we have, may God forgive them. How well I know them. How painfully well I know them. Quoth dissenters. I don't have to read their books. I've been living with so many for so many years. I know them and they know me. No Jesuit that I know has any doubt what that Hardin is trying to do. He's trying to reform the Society of Jesus. Sure, so what's new? There's work to be done, and my hope and plea is that as a fruit of this retreat, you will be fired, burning with zeal to convert an America which, except for God's extraordinary grace, has lost his hold on God. How is the church holy? She is holy because she canonizes saints whose heroic virtue is the inspiration for others to imitate. I'll make a certain number of resolutions for you. I'll ask chance to do it. I won't ask for a raising of hands. I would like to think that all of you have at least one volume, either Lives of the Saints in general or some biography of a saint in your home. Period. If you don't, get some. When you think of all the junk reading that we do, and it is junk reading, in Manhattan where I lived for 14 years, great big sign. Junk shop. J-U-N-Q-U-E. Read the Lives of the Saints. I don't believe I've ever directly recommended this to you people in a retreat. As you may know, the Divine Office is now in the vernacular. There's also a one-volume abbreviated Divine Office. The standard edition is in four volumes. where there are saints' feasts, saints' biographies, long passages from the saints. Give at least some thought to this. Maybe, perhaps, possibly, talk it over with your wives. Father Harden, you never know what he's going to say next. I couldn't believe my ears. He suggested that maybe, perhaps, we might recite the Divine Office, even what we call one canonical hour. It takes about 10 or 15 minutes a day. By the way, that's how the breviary began. Well, the laity, for centuries, until later on, the church made it obligatory on all clerics. And pray for priests that they will say the Divine Office. If you're not sure that your pastor or the priest in your parish are reciting the Divine Office, smile when you ask them, Father, will you teach me how to say the Divine Office? I'm sure you are saying it. They may not enjoy the request. It will do them supernatural good. It is a sin, and I tell priests, a grave sin, for a priest to not say, Bobby, some grave necessity, to not say the Divine Office every day. We go on. How is the Catholic Church Catholic? We know what the word Catholic means. It means universal. None of us plan, obviously, to be born in this century. The most critical in the history of Christianity. Well, there's a reason. We've got work to do. There's a war going on, and the enemy is highly organized, highly financed. About a week ago, I read some figures on the financial support of the Planned Parenthood Association in the United States. Figures that I read, I had no reason for doubting them. 1,420,000 every day. Where are the Catholics, dear God? But say, to oppose the Planned Parenthood would be against the law. So what? The Colosseum would not have been covered with the blood of martyrs for 300 years unless, unlike us, the Christians profess their faith, and the Roman law to the contrary notwithstanding. You're asking, how is the Church Catholic? And the answer, she is Catholic or universal because Christ is present in her in the fullness of his body, with the fullness of the means of salvation, the fullness of faith, the fullness of the sacraments, and ordained ministry by apostolic succession. We have access as Catholics to all the graces that God became man to confer on mankind. How is she Catholic? She is Catholic or universal because her mission is to the whole human race. I almost broke down and wept when a Jesuit priest friend of mine in Calcutta told me, a priest, prominent television and radio speaker, hired by the government, and the media are controlled by the government, reaching 100 million people every time he appears on television, promoting contraception, supporting abortion. My God! After that, with some 250 missionaries of charity, made sure that Mother Teresa was there. I told the sisters, no wonder less than 2% of the 800 million people of India are even nominally Catholic. No wonder. When you have Judases like this man using national television to propagate the untruth. And this is where we must be. Even as I use the verb must be, say to myself, Hardin, be realistic. We must be. All the prudence in the world, all the charity in the world, but courage, fortitude, to stand up for what Christ has given to us. Finally, the Church is one holy Catholic and apostolic. And the Catechism spells out why they call the Church's apostolicity in the plainest language. What does that mean? It means that every bishop in the Catholic Church, every priest in the Catholic Church, traces his ordination and therefore his sacerdotal powers of changing bread and wine into the living Christ and absolving sins and the sacrament of confession back to the first Holy Thursday night. In other words, the Catholic Church is apostolic, not only, though also, because miraculously she has remained faithful to the teaching of the apostles. Not one iota of the essence of the Christian faith has been changed since Christ's ascension into heaven. But not only that, the Catholic Church is apostolic because the authority she exercises, the authority to teach, the authority to govern, the authority to judge goes back to those 11 then when Matthias was brought into the apostolic college, 12 men whom Christ chose, and they therefore receive their power from him and pass it on. Hear it. Pass it on by the power of sacred orders. One more important aspect of this, which I never tire repeating. If the Second Vatican Council had done nothing else but this, and did much more, but if it had taught only this, that the authority of any bishop in the world is only as valid as either the teaching of what is to be believed or the teaching in what is to be done in the moral order corresponds with, is approved by the Bishop of Rome. And this has been the temptation for 2,000 years for bishops to go off on their own, of which for us English-speaking Catholics the most tragic was when the whole hierarchy of England apostatized to preserve their head from being executed by the lecher Henry VIII. Only, as we know, John Fisher of Rochester in England and Thomas More. Fisher, the bishop, and more were laymen, remained faithful to the Pope and the Holy Father. I want to think with a sense of wry humor, decided the English translation be published. I told you this, didn't I? On June the 22nd, the combined feast of John Fisher and Thomas More. We will need their protection as never before. But that is why, my friends, we've got no choice. Know what the Pope teaches. Know it. Read it. Keep up with his teaching. Otherwise, they become part of the landscape and cave in, as so many over the centuries have done. A closing prayer. Lord Jesus, you have founded the Catholic Church by your death on Calvary. We beg you, dear Lord, for the strength we need to be faithful to you, and no matter what price to ourselves, because, dear Jesus, and becoming members of the church you founded, we are members not only in this world, we are meant to be members through all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.